while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
So this is the day that the Lord has made, a day in which we will rejoice and be glad. You know, absolutely every day for over 3 years, as you saw in that tribute video, I have said those words out loud. Every single day, this is the day that the Lord has made. As it happens, for the first time yesterday, I did not say those words out loud. I felt like I lost my salvation. I didn't know what to do with myself. You know, because that's how I start the prayer every morning. 6:45, over 3 years worth of prayers. But at the same time, you know, yesterday was a day of reflection for me. Like Pastor Manuela alluded, you know, I actually got out of bed 6:07. And then I walked into my study really quietly. And then I started shutting the door. I was like, no, you don't need to shut the door today. There's no prayer this morning. You don't need to do. And I sat down at my desk. I was trying to plug in the computer. I was like, plug in the microphone. Like, no microphones today. No system today. So it's going to take a bit of getting used to. This morning, I was in bed a little bit later. Yesterday was 6:07. Today was 7:15, you know. There's hope. There's hope. However, as I was preparing for this sermon, I was curious to find out, just thinking about, this is the day the Lord has made, thinking about important days and dates in history. And of course, what did I do when I was trying to find out important days and dates in history? What did I do? I went to Google. Yeah, some of you are thinking, I don't know. Maybe you went to Collierswood, Mitcham, Norbury, Thornton Heath, Asda, Tesco, Nando's. Some of you are probably thinking about lunch right now. Just calm down. It's not even afternoon. So I went to Google, find out what Google had to say about important dates. And I searched for the most important date in history. Google, of course, showed me that there are many contenders for the most important date in history. You know, the time of the invention of paper is really important in history. The fall of the Roman Empire, that was critical. Start of global colonization. You know, they're key events that have absolutely shaped the direction of humanity. But Google's AI, yeah, there's that phrase, AI. And you know how I feel about AI. Google's AI model was at the top of the page and of the search results. And as I was scrolling, it caught my attention because it had laid out the top four contenders for the most important day in history. And I'm going to tell you what they are. In fact, I'll just put them on screen. Fourth place, the 24th of October, 1945. This is so small, you can't see it anyway. 1945 is the formation of the United Nations, to foster international cooperation, human rights, economic development, decolonization, that sort of thing. Let's not talk about how well they're doing. We're here to talk about Jesus. In third place, the 12th of October, 1492. Christopher Columbus arrived in the Americas and it marked the beginning of, you know, he was Italian. It marked the beginning of, you know, European exploration, colonization of the Americas. In second place, 1453, we're talking about the fall of the Emperor Constantinople, was really critical because that heralded the beginning of the modernization era. After the Byzantine Empire which came after the fall of the Roman Empire. In first place, in the year 33 AD, it says Easter Sunday, considered by billions to be the most critical moment in human history, marking the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't always agree with AI, but I agree with this one. And I thank God for scripture. I thank God for the Bible. It's a critical book and we read about Jesus through it. It's not only the most purchased book year on year, it's the most scrutinized, the most contested, the most researched body of works that has ever existed. And despite the fact that it was written all those thousands and thousands of years ago, all the lessons in the entirety of Scripture, all the stories, all the roads, all the journeys the Bible lays out for us are pointing us to one destination, and that destination is Jesus, God's Son, our Savior. As we read the Bible, we see, you know, there's some of the roads, the journeys he took, some of the adventures, as it were, that happened in Scripture, not with Jesus alone, but with others, with the disciples, with other writers and other people, as they answered God's call on their lives. Now, when Jesus experienced lots of things, and of all the things that Jesus experienced in Scripture, there is nothing that matters more than what he experienced on the cross of Calvary. You know, that moment of his crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection on the greatest day in human history, which we're going to be celebrating next Sunday. And today I want to look at the road that Jesus traveled on. I want to look at the way of the servant king as he journeyed toward Jerusalem. So let me ask you this question. Yeah, this is a question. Let me start. I'm going to ask a question. Are there any men in the house? Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't say anything. What's that about? I'll do that again. Don't put your hand up. Are there any men in the house?
Yeah.
That's what I'm like. What's a base in this place? I'm not even asking if there are women in the house. You lot just intimidate us every time that question is asked. Did you even answer? I didn't hear any bass. You know, the subwoofers from... Are there any men in the house?
Yes!
Should I just move on, right?
Yes.
Ladies, should I move on?
Yes!
All right. Let me ask this question. Of the men, if you were given an opportunity to make a grand entrance, would you choose a frail donkey or would you choose, like, a stallion? Men, come on. What would you choose? Stallion. Yeah, Andy's looking, he's like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, I know this man. Yeah. Everybody, I mean, you know, who wants to, making a grand entrance, who wants to come in a Ford Fiesta, a little mosquito of a car? You want to come in a Range Rover. You want to rock up in a Bentley, don't you? So let me ask the women. Women, if you had the opportunity to come on a frail donkey or a stallion, which would you choose?
Stallion.
Stallion. Absolutely. It's easy. You know, particularly, and some of us are thinking, well, you know, maybe I'll come on a donkey. Yeah, right. It's only because you read the Bible and you know what it says in there. Jesus came on a donkey and you know me. You're like, this is an ambush. It's a trick question. Because I know every single one of us would not choose that donkey. We'd probably, you know, we want to arrive in style. Come on, you know what I'm saying. Let me show you a couple of pictures. These pictures were taken almost 10 years ago to illustrate what it means to make a grand entrance. Doo-doom. You see that? Are you seeing the picture? Are you seeing the picture? Everybody shout, who do you see in this picture?
Sumi.
Yes, it's a picture from our wedding day. Here's another angle. On the, you know, in that moment, where is it? There's the other angle. You know, there I am looking, keeping my eyes to Jesus. You know, it's not about the tears that were flowing down through the emotions. Don't worry about that, you know. Ignore the handkerchief in my hand. You know, I was looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. You know, when Jesus made his entrance to Jerusalem, he didn't come like this. His followers were probably assuming he'd break out all this gentle Jesus, meek and mild thing. He was going to come on a blazing white stallion like that. Roar. You know, he's the king, isn't he? He's there to save. The superhero expectation of Jesus. The coming king. He's going to gallop in. But what noise the horses make? Nigerians say, kutukpa, kutukpa. Don't even ask me why. Yeah. And then he'd jump off that horse. Whoa, guess who's here? Jesus. And then he'd go to Satan, you know, and he'd, dish, 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 Satan, you're defeated. And he'd tie him up and he'd get on the horse and he'd be like, that's what the disciples expected. He's like, come on, defeat this guy, beat up the bad guy. And he'd gallop off into the sunset. And then you come to a church like this, you know, I know some of you like the theatrics, don't you? Especially if you come to a church like this, you look at the pastor, you know, 6'4" that I am. 6'4", full of muscles, yes? You know the drill, man. You know I'm full of muscles. It's just bubble wrap, yeah? You know the drill, right? 6'4", full of muscles, and you're like, yeah, superhero Jesus, superhero pasta. Yeah, I'm in the right place. I mean, who wouldn't want to follow a Jesus like that? Yeah. But the Jesus we read about in the Gospels is not like that. It was not a Jesus that was easy to follow. Talking about take up your cross and follow me, what? The cross was a symbol of execution. And his whole life, he had two recurring purposes. Purpose one, to serve the will of the Father. Purpose two, to fulfill the ancient prophecies. That's why he came. That's why he was there. And even though he was king, the king above all kings, he came to serve. And with these two purposes, he set his face to Jerusalem. He took the way of the servant king. And it's a way that speaks to three things, to humility, fulfillment, and obedience. I don't know why destiny's in the middle. I took it out. So ignore that third one. So humility, fulfillment, and obedience. The way of humility. When you think of the phrase King of Kings, Lord of Lords, humility, that for King of Kings, that is the king that other kings bow to, the lords that other lords call Lord. You don't think humility, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. You think pomp, pageantry. You know, you think ruling. You don't think humility as standard. And yet, as the people gave their shouts, they shouted, Hosanna, which means come, save us. The disciples must have been thinking, right, this is it. Here we go, guys. Come on. It's going to happen now. Ha ha. All this Jesus stuff, he's going to just break it out. Like, whoa. You know, like the Hulk. Has anybody... I heard some children shout, yeah. You know, Dr. Bruce Banner is there, and he's like, oh, you know, he's really gentle, gentle doctor, meek and mild. And then some bad guy is going to show up, and he's like, and his muscles are going to come, the same way my muscles are bulging now, you know. His muscles come out, and everything just, I mean, well, these muscles are bulging anyway. You know, his muscles, everything comes out, and he turns green. I don't know why they chose green, but hey. And people kind of, these guys maybe thought Jesus was going to rock up like that. Like Wolverine, the claws come out, roar, Iron Man, chum, ready to go. What did they think? He's going to deliver God's people. It's going to happen. But the King of Kings chose the road of humility. He chose the gentle road. I was going to say he chose the easy road. How many Christians here believe that the Christian walk is an easy walk? I didn't see those hands coming up. And he didn't choose a donkey. He chose a stallion. He did. You heard it, right? No. It helps to read the text. I wrote, he chose to ride a donkey, not a stallion. And that's what he chose. He didn't come in wealth. He came in poverty. He didn't come in grandeur. He came in weakness. He didn't come in fortune and fame. He came in humility. He didn't come with pageantry. He chose that humility. And I don't think if you think about it, even the disciples, just the night before at dinner, these guys were arguing. That's not the picture they had. They were saying, who's going to sit on your left? Who's going to sit on your right? You know, hey, who's going to be your minister when you're like the king? Who are you going to put in power? That was the vision that they had. These guys didn't understand the road of humility that Jesus was walking on. Sadly, even though we've read the book, even though we know the story, sometimes we act like we don't understand. In fact, sometimes we don't understand. Even us today, on so many occasions, we love and we desire the blessings of God, but we don't want to enter with Jesus along the way of humility. The road to humility, the road that says, I will live as Christ lived. The road to humility that says, I will be conformed even to his death. Even to his death. Which means I need to die to some things, die to some desires, die to some things I want and wish, die to some habits. People say, oh, well, you know, Pastor, you know how I am. Woo. What does that mean? Should I view you in your fallen state or view you through the eyes of God? Pastor, you know it can be hard. I don't understand what you're trying to tell me to do. Accept it? or encourage you to better? Should I leave you where you are? Paul, when he was writing to the Philippians, he talked about knowing Christ, knowing the power of his resurrection, but also he talked about knowing the fellowship, or another translation says the participation in his sufferings. You see, it's so easy, so often we want the resurrection bit. The power of his resurrection. If I said to you, hey, listen, Easter Sunday, we're going to pray over you. We're going to experience the power of his resurrection. Yeah. They'd be like, yeah, I'm coming. And if I say, you know, and then after you experience the power of his resurrection, I'm going to pray that you will know the fellowship of his suffering. How many of you here will say amen? But it's the same Bible text, Philippians 3:10. It's not even a different text. It's not an interpretation. It's the same sentence. To know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Saints of God, to follow Jesus into his salvation is to go the way of the cross. The way of the cross calls for our humility. It calls for even sometimes our humiliation, like it was for Jesus. Giving up our selfish desires to be part of everything that Jesus is. It goes even beyond this. The way of the cross calls not just for us to give up selfish desires. The way of the cross calls for us to give up self. And so this is the way of the servant king, not the road of humility, but it is also the road of fulfillment. Yeah, not just the road of humility, but the road of fulfillment. Verses 4 and 5, you read our text for today, Matthew 21. Verses 4 and 5 say this. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus entering Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey was not by chance. It had been pre-prophesied. It was fulfilling God's divine plan. That's why he was on that donkey. The prophet Zechariah had previously said, Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And this is just one of many, 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 many prophecies that Jesus came to fulfill, that talked about his entrance to Jerusalem, his trial, his arrest, his trial, his death, his crucifixion. Now, through this and all these other prophecies, we see that Jesus' life was actually divinely appointed by God. It was part of God's plan to redeem us. All that Jesus went through was for the fulfillment of our salvation. Every twist and turn, every blow, every thorn, every individual thorn on his head had a part to play in that. Consider this. Then, this fulfillment of God's plan, are you seeing it in your life? Are you walking in the fulfillment of God's purpose in your life? That's the challenge for you today. It's easy to come to church and sit under a sermon and listen and say, amen, ooh, that was nice, ooh, and laugh at a few jokes. But are you walking in the fulfillment of God's plan for your life? Jesus traveled the way of the servant king, and he was heading to death on the cross. But he knew it was part of God's plan that would bring a better life for you, for me. And so the way of the servant king is not only the road of humility, it's not only the road of fulfillment, it's also the road of obedience, the way of obedience. If you look at verses 6 and 7 of Matthew 21, it was read for us earlier on, it says this, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. Jesus had told two of his disciples prior to this point, said, hey, go and find the colt. And he, you know, and said he's going to make, you know, ride into Jerusalem. These guys obeyed him. Obedience was what brought this about. Obedience. Scripture talks about his obedience even to death on the cross. How much is obedience a part of our lives, I wonder. I wonder, every single one of you listening to me right now, how much are you willing to remain, to be and remain obedient to the instructions of Jesus? Jesus' life was one of obedience. His first loyalty, above anything else, was to the Father. In John chapter 6, verse 38, he said, I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. You know, this week, today's Palm Sunday, and as we journey through this week, many churches are giving out palm fronds. And from here on in, you'll see them. You'll see people walking on the bus, on the tube, on the street, with the palms sticking out of their Bible. They pop them in their car on the windshield. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing that. I've done it too. But is that where it ends? Is that it? That's the question. This week, we start what's known as Passion Week. That points to this, the passionate agony that Jesus would have as he experienced the days and the moments leading up to his crucifixion. All of which culminate in what happened at the Garden of Gethsemane. And in that garden, that was the place where he poured out his heart to God. He said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. In the middle of that agonizing prayer, the only way for all of you, the only way for your humanity, for your country, the only way for your community, your family, the only way for you to be saved, for me to be saved, to be reconciled to God, was for him to go to the cross. And he was like, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, as he prayed that, in the very same breath, he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Not my will, yours be done. You see, if there is one word that actually characterizes the Easter story, that word is passion. That word is passion. Easter highlights God's passion for a lost humanity. God's passion, the passion that brought Jesus to travel that journey, to go that way of the servant king, the passion that called him and caused him to end up on the cross. And beyond that, to the triumph, to the glory, to the victory of resurrection. Easter highlights the disciples' passion, the passion for the call that is placed on God's people. It highlights that call, that the motivated and inspired journeys as they went into the world after this point with the same passion that Jesus had and infused that passion into others. And he calls us to infuse as well, as we receive that, to infuse into others. He calls us into that same way. So the way of the servant king is the way of obedience, is one of obedience. And it calls for us not just to hear what God is saying, but to heed what God is saying. The way of the servant king is calling us to obedience, to obey. And I was preaching out last week, and interestingly, I said these words. I said, you know, I'm going to use a word that we're not comfortable hearing in the 21st century. Obedience. If I say to you, obey, be real with yourself. What does that make you feel? Obey. Because for some of us right now, when I'm saying to you, you must obey. Obey isn't optional. Obedience is not a negotiation. You must obey. And when I say those words, for some of us, we're thinking, okay, fair enough, I'll do it. Some of us are thinking, whoa, what do you mean by that? Some of us, we're hearing the words of God through the trauma of what some human being did to us. Your mom, your dad, your culture, your background, your country, your experience, your friends, your colleagues. And when someone tells you, or when you read in God's word, obey, you're ignoring God. You're hearing your Uncle Bob or mom or dad that said what they said or did what they did. And we shouldn't do that. We don't judge God by the actions of humans. We shouldn't do that. Now let me illustrate to you what obedience looks like. And this, I want to illustrate this as demonstrated by one of the most overlooked characters in the whole Easter story. When we read about or think about the various roles that were played in Jesus' life and his entry into Jerusalem, right through to his resurrection, there's a perspective that is easy to overlook, very easy to overlook. And as I reflected on this, I pondered on what it is, you know, going the way of the servant king and this aspect of obedience. I came to see again the role of the donkey. That's right. You know, sometimes we go through life, we feel unseen, we feel unheard. And so we start to begin to believe this means that we're undervalued. If they don't see me, it means they don't value me. And particularly in this social media age where everybody wants to be on screen, hey, look at me, it's the selfie. Everybody wants to be valued, and we equate being seen with being valued. But the Lord sees you. He values you. He knew you before the foundations of the world. Let me tell you quickly about that donkey. The donkey was also prophesied about well before time. God set up the donkey to be there. Zechariah 9:9 was read earlier on in the service already today. And the donkey was part of that prophecy. Jesus' directions to the disciples were very specific, very intentional. You'll go to such city, such place, you'll find such donkey. The donkey carried Jesus, the servant king, to the city. In the same way, I'm not calling you a donkey, but I am in a way. You also carry the Lord, don't you? Don't you? Yes, it's easy to say Zechariah 9:9 was about the Lord, but the donkey was part of the prophecy. The donkey was part of the entry into Jerusalem. The donkey Jesus chose the donkey as a sign of humility, yes? In the same way, the servant king has chosen you. He's chosen you. He's chosen you. You must never lose sight of that. He chose me. This is God himself riding on a donkey, the Word made flesh, the creator, the preserver, the governor of all things. That same God lives in me, chose me before I chose him. When we walk close with the God, when we walk in harmony, do you know God puts everything else right? Let me talk. The donkey demonstrated obedience in the same way the servant king did. The donkey was like, well, okay, fair enough. In the same way Jesus did in the garden. I don't want to do this, but okay, fair enough. It's not about me. I'll get over myself. It was all for the master. The donkey remained obedient. It was not about him or for him. Now here's the beautiful thing. The people threw their cloaks on the floor. They threw the branches on the floor. For who? Come on, say it. For who? So who walked on it? Exactly. They threw it down for Jesus, but the donkey walked on it too. The Jesus in your life is worth honoring. How can you not benefit from that? Show Jesus in your life. Live for him. How can you not benefit from that? Earlier on, I asked you all to shout out. I said, look at this photo. Who can you see in this photo? And everybody shouted, Sumi! Of course, I'm sure some of you will have spotted me as well in the photo. I'm hoping. Maybe? No? Anybody? No? Okay. All right, okay. Well, I was there, okay? She didn't just rock up in a wedding dress. There's a dude in a blue suit near the front, yeah? Let me show you who else was there, PHBC family. Look. Recognize that face? Nope. Absolutely. Simone was there. Where's Simone? There you are. Hey, do you want to stand up? Give us a wave. Yeah. Simone was also there. I asked who's in the photo. He said, Sumi. It was a great day for Sumi, yes. I mean, it was a great day for me as well, okay? Can we just... But I dare say it was also a great day for Simone, who was there as part of the celebrations. And saints, as long as the Lord is with you, as long as Jesus is with you, and as long as you carry the presence of the servant king, where you go, he goes. Where he goes, you go. What comes for him comes for you. What cannot defeat him cannot defeat you. Really important for you to never forget that. What cannot defeat him cannot defeat you. And so I want to encourage you today. You must remain in the Word. Remain obedient to him. Remain obedient to the Spirit. Remain obedient to his will. Remain obedient to his way. If your agenda, desires, performances, opinions, perspective, if they conform to God, how can you fail? How can you? God has got to be our top priority. He must be our desire. The donkey had no other job than to carry the servant king. And so as we begin our journey through Passion Week toward Easter, it's a journey that leads to the one called Jesus. As the people begin to ask, you know, they'll say, who was this man? You know, we're not going to say, yeah, he's a superhero on a horse. We say he was Jesus. He is Jesus. I ask you to consider the price he paid for you. I ask you to consider giving your life to him. I ask you to consider giving your life to him again, afresh, anew. I ask you to consider living in humility, fulfillment, destiny, and obedience. Will you consider the way of the King?
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.